Welcome to Monday. No, it's not Monday. Welcome
Sunday.
To
Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah, but I was going to welcome
whatever.
To Curmudgeon's Corner.
Something.
Yeah, well, it's Curmudgeon's Corner. Welcome.
Yeah.
It is Sunday, July 8th, 2012, as we record this. I'll put it out later this week sometime, as time allows. You know, and Yvonne and I were just talking. There's absolutely nothing going on. This was a holiday week. The holiday was stuck right smack in the middle of the week, like the most inconvenient time possible for a holiday.
You know what? I will say for me, it
Although
worked
it
out all right.
If you take the whole 2 days before or after, it makes a nice long holiday.
I had a lot of people that I know that. I did not. I went and
now,
I worked.
I took the whole week off, actually.
Oh.
I worked from home a little Monday. But basically, I took the whole week off because I had family visiting starting. They were arriving Thursday night. And so basically, I took Friday off because they were going to be around and I'm going to do stuff with them. But I took Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday off to clean the house.
Well, look, one of the things is that I did work this week. Well, what a reason I did work was normally I would take on a week like this off. But because babies due pretty soon, I wanted to not burn up any. I do have a ton of time off, okay, available.
But you want to maximize how much you have for around the baby.
Right. Okay. So that's why. Okay. So
you probably get some extra family leave stuff too, right? Don't you? Or does
if I chose to take that, but I've got without that, I've got what is it? Seven plus. I've got 21 paid business days of sick or vacation time that I could choose to use.
There you go.
I mean, that's about a month. I really, you know, I don't really need to use. I mean, and that's time available for the next 6 months.
Right. But
okay?
if you do get paid family leave, you want to use that first because you can only use that at that one time.
But our family leave time is unpaid.
Oh, well, then fuck that.
So, right. So I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not. So plus, I don't think I'm going to take anywhere near remotely that long, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Plus, the other part is, let's face it, if I'm here, I mean, I may take a couple of days, but the other days I could just spend working from here, you know?
Yeah,
so,
I forget. I took 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know,
maybe,
it just...
I probably only took two. Because if I remember right, I took 2 weeks right at the time and then saved the rest of my vacation time for when various family was going to be visiting. Because your family's all, like, local, so you'll see them right away.
Right.
We spaced ours out, so, like, my mom came, like, a month later.
Nah, they're all here.
My dad came, like, 2 months later.
So, yeah, it's like, you know, yeah, they're all here, so it's not like... one thing is, I just posted this on Facebook, so if you log in, you can take a look at it. I got my Wi-Fi cam live now, but, of course, it's, you know, just for me to look at. But I've got the room cam, all right, already set up, so it's working.
Okay.
Okay, all right. I got the thing that works from the iPad, from the iPhone, and from the computer. I could just sit there and just, you know, log on and like, see. So it's got night vision to the infrared thing and the microphone. So you can, you know, so I got that straightened out working yesterday. I spent a couple of hours making sure because I had trouble with the video on mobile devices. It was, like, all choppy and problematic, and you know, it's like because I tried it at home. Okay, if I was on Wi-Fi, it was not a problem. But I was on the 3G on my iPhone. It was like all choppy and problematic, and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, you know, this thing's driving me crazy. So I had to fiddle with the settings for a long while until I was able to finally get it to look right. Okay,
excellent.
So that's
excellent.
So I don't know if you chose to go and look at the live shot.
I'm looking at it right now. Very cool.
You see? There you go.
We had all kinds of baby monitor stuff inside the house, but we never set up the internet version of it. So you're very cool. You know.
Yeah, so I got that.
Obviously I have my regular webcam, but we never actually pointed it at the baby's bed.
Yeah. But this webcam, I got the night vision thing on it, so
yep,
it's
yep.
worked with the infrared. So,
very cool.
But it's totally dark. You know, you can see. I also have this other monitor that my wife got, which I don't know. I guess monitors is their heartbeat, and other stuff, and whatever, whatnot.
Yeah, the little pads that go under the bed.
Yep, I got that too.
Yeah, that thing was great. We used that for the first year and a half, whatever. And for those of you listening who don't know this stuff, basically the thing, it's got an alarm on it, so you know it does the regular baby monitor stuff, so you can hear them and all that kind of stuff. But also, it senses vibrations. So like, if suddenly the bed is still, like there's no heartbeat or the baby's not breathing or whatever, it'll set off an alarm.
Right.
And there are two things for that. One, like for the sort of SIDS, sudden baby death stuff, they think a lot of it is just sort of sleep apnea kind of things where the baby just stops breathing.
So if you get to him fast enough, you'll be fine.
If you get to him fast enough, but also even the alarm can sort of shock them back out and like they're good again.
Right.
But so it gets you there quickly. But also, and this won't be a factor for you for a little while, Avon.
Al?
I was going to call you Alex, but you're not Alex. But once they're mobile, it will also tell you if they get out of the bed in the middle of the night.
Ah, I like that. Okay.
You know, so that once, now, you got the crib. At some point, you change it from a crib to a bed and blah, blah, blah. At some point, they can climb out as well, even while it's still a crib.
Your wife just said, awesome. Now be prepared for a 10-minute resistance on the live feed once he turns 15, though.
Exactly.
I got to be honest with you. Look, I was not a heavily, monitored child, okay? All right. I got to admit, look, my parents, I remember from age 12, basically, I would get dropped off at home. My parents were working. I would do whatever. You know, I was at home by myself. Okay, all right. You know, it's like, unless I was staying at somebody else's place. I mean, because they were working. I mean, and my parents worked pretty hard, and they worked pretty late. I mean, they usually got home around 9:30, 10 o'clock every day. Okay? Yeah. So, you know, and at that age, I already knew how to cook myself. So, therefore, I was not reliant on my wife leaving me any food or anything. I would cook. Now, I would since I was cooking, I would refuse to wash dishes. Okay, all right? I mean, if I got to cook myself, well, then somebody else got to wash. So my mom would come at night and wash whatever I dirtied, and I tried not to dirty too much. But, you know, when I got my own car and I was, 16, I mean, I was on my own. I mean, it's not like my parents were, asking me, well, be here at this hour. I think maybe once or twice they did that. After the second time, I was like, I basically just tried to make sure I got home before they woke up.
I was a latchkey kid for when I was 8, 9, 10, meaning I had a key to my house around my neck, and I came home from school and no one was home, and I had a few hours by myself. And when I was really young, under 9, I would hang out at home. I would play with my friends from the neighborhood. I would do those kinds of things. Once I was a teenager, I went to the basement and played with my computer.
There you go. I would, I didn't have a basement, but, same thing. I would be playing with the computers and doing stuff. So anyway, all right. So I got, the technology is set up, the room. I don't know if you saw one thing with the picture. That's the crib. It's covered up in a blanket because my wife right now is on this thing where, since we have a dog, she doesn't want any hair falling on anything. So she's covering everything.
There you go. I like the train on the wall.
Oh, you like the train? Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks cool.
Anyway.
So we're working on... Oh, and by the way, let me point out, on the left over there, on the shot, that's your gift.
Oh, that's the book holder thing.
Yes!
Yeah, excellent.
There you go. You see, it's all already... I put it together yesterday, and I put it up, and it's all right there.
There's still a few things on the way.
Yeah, no, but I just wanted to point out that, I just realized...
It's a little book thing. Very cool. Yeah.
Yep.
Of course, it'll be a little while till he's reading, but,
Right. But, hey, it's a nice decoration for the room. So I got, I'm still organizing a little bit, working on, got some stuff, other little things coming in and stuff, and try to organize a room. But, but most of the stuff, I got... I think, we're getting there. We're getting
very
there.
Very exciting.
But yes.
So, we do...
Okay, one thing I wanted to mention. Okay, all right.
Okay, go ahead.
before we go to anything, okay, so we have to talk about this topic, and I didn't actually explain why I put that topic down. Okay, the Higgs, what the fuck?
The Higgs boson.
Boson. Okay, I got to point out one thing. The group of researchers there,
yes.
One of them
yes.
is my sister-in-law's sister.
Oh, excellent.
Okay, who worked on it.
So why don't we have her on the show to explain it?
I could.
There you go.
If we want, I'll ask her.
And, you know? And then we'll point out just how atrophied my physics knowledge is.
It's, you know, that would, you know, now that you realize that, that would show how pathetic your education has really become, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because, you know, yes, I was a physics major, you know, however many decades ago. I don't remember Jack.
What would he?
I mean, the basics, but like, you know.
Gravity, yeah, you know.
You know, I had 4 years of physics education. If you put me down in a room to do anything now, I probably could do most of the stuff I did my freshman year of college. Anything past freshman year, there's probably no chance in hell.
Why? You're that bad?
It's just gone. It's the kind of thing that to use it, you have to remember it, you have to use it on a regular basis. And I haven't used it in forever.
I guess. Yeah.
Now that maybe I could remember some of it with a little bit of refreshing, like I might not have to start completely from scratch, but frankly, probably close. You know, if you put in front of me some of the stuff I was doing my senior year, I'd have no fucking clue.
Well, I guess the one thing is that I studied business and finance, and I've been doing
a lot of that.
I've been using it all the time. Yeah,
I mean,
because even like it's kind of funny because even when I mean, a lot of the stuff that I did was in finance, okay? And I'm doing a lot of sales management and other stuff. But the reality is that I'm always, like, doing business projects and other things and doing business analysis and other stuff. Like, I mean, I manage the profit and loss for our business internally, so I got to be looking at – I have to be doing financial projections and forecasts and pulling together information. And then, you know, like, I don't know, we've been doing some real estate investing, and so, you know, we were doing some projections in terms of doing cash flow models and like doing a rate of return on the investment, depending on the purchase price and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. I always liked the subject. So, you know, and I'm doing, you know, stocks and like doing some reviews and doing some things. And I'm always doing. So, yeah, I guess, you know, consistently I've used that, you know, in one way or another.
And
so.
it makes a big difference. Now, I couldn't tell you for sure, like, would I feel the same way if I'd studied literature? Well, I probably would if I'd studied literature but then hadn't read at all in the last 20 years. I don't know.
Read.
Anyway, we do have a few real topics. Very few, because it's really like...
So tell me, okay, all right, so if we go into real topics, as I mentioned the whole Higgs boson?
Boson.
So what's the story? Okay, all right, you're the physics major. I talk about the fucking financial shit, so you tell me exactly what the hell it means.
Now, didn't we just go over the fact I don't know this shit anymore?
Oh, but, for God's sakes. Well, you know more than the average person.
Okay. So here's the basic, very, very high-level thing. Over the course of the 20th century, for the most part, physicists developed a model called the Standard Model. It explains sort of most of the particles and forces that we know about, except gravity. Gravity is general relativity, and it's still separate. But, you know, this is basically, you know, the history of it. You know, you started with, okay, they're atoms. Okay, inside atoms, it looks like, hey, they're protons and electrons and neutrons. Oh, okay, some of those get split up. And then there are these more exotic things that only happen under high energies and blah, 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 blah. And so the Standard Model developed that predicted, first of all, explained some of the particles we'd actually already observed. Protons, neutrons, electrons, neutrinos, muons, blah, 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 blah. Some of the ones that people had actually seen in experiments and understood. And then people noticed that basically there was a pattern here for how, like, you know, just like how elements fit into a periodic table. These subatomic particles fit into sort of an organizational structure.
Okay.
But then there were, and there were the ones that we'd already seen, and then there were ones that nobody had ever seen, but would make sense to be there because they'd fill out the pattern.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay? And over the course of a few decades, physicists had found, observationally, every single one of those predicted particles except one. That was the Higgs boson.
Okay.
And so it was sort of the one leftover particle that the standard model of physics predicted that hadn't actually been observed physically yet.
And why was it so difficult to observe, I guess? This is just for us undereducated adults.
Basically because it was... It's such that in order to free that particle so that it would appear separately from other things, you had to have incredibly massive energies to sort of knock it out.
Okay, gotcha.
So, like, normally this thing would be, like, hidden in inside other forces and particles and stuff like this. To actually see it, you had to have a massive amount of energy to sort of knock it free and show evidence of it existing. And that's, like, and so they've been building bigger and bigger accelerators over the years to get more and more of these particles. And the one that was hardest to find was this Higgs boson. They needed to have super high energies. And the... the experiment in CERN, the Large Hadron Collider, which went online a couple years ago now, I guess, or last year, 2 years ago, whatever, it was the first one that was big enough to have a good chance of finding it. Like, there was some chance of finding it with the smaller ones earlier, just not a very good chance. With those earlier experiments, they were able to sort of narrow down the possible, like, exclude things and say, okay, the Higgs boson isn't here, it isn't there, it's probably still in this region, but we can't quite get there yet. And so this week, basically, they announced that they had very good confirmation of a particle existing right where they predicted the Higgs boson would be. They are calling it Higgs-like because...
Yeah, I saw that.
And,
right.
And that's because it's not quite exactly what they expected, which will actually make physicists very happy. Because if they found exactly what they expected, then they're like, okay, standard model confirmed, yay. If they find something that's close but not quite, then, well, first they're going to have to confirm that and spend another couple years doing more research to make sure that it's not really... exactly what they expected, and it's not experimental error or something like that. But if it really is slightly different than what the theory expected, then that means new physics. That means new things we have to figure out.
Right.
Which is much more exciting than just confirming what you thought.
Confirm it again, you're like, yawn. Okay, all right, let's move on. Okay.
Right. And so, and that's basically it. And it has, there are a few things you'll hear people talking about. One, it's got some stuff to do with the weak force and how that works and blah, blah, blah. The thing that everybody's talking about, though, is it also the existence of the Higgs is one possible way of explaining why there's mass in the universe. Because the theory of general relativity explains what happens with mass. Like, you have mass, and this is what happens. This is how the universe is deformed by the existence of mass. But it doesn't explain where mass comes from. It just sort of assumes it's an intrinsic property of the universe, sort of. The Higgs boson potentially gives a mechanism for the arising of mass. The details of that are, frankly, beyond anything I've looked at so far, so I won't even claim to understand how that works. But basically, that's one of the reasons it's potentially a big deal, is it has mass arising out of the standard model of physics. And mass and gravity are still the big gap between general relativity and the standard model. So anything that gets mass in the standard model gives you a little bit closer to understanding where that might connect to general relativity and do some sort of unified theory that combines them both. We're still a long way from that. But it's because before this, you know, people always had to just assume mass is something that things had. So an electron had a certain mass, and it just does. This potentially explains why that electron has mass, as something that comes out of the theory as opposed to something you put in the theory as a starting point.
Hmm. Very, very, very interesting. Okay. It's just, well, no, I think it is interesting in the point that it's still amazing that shows us how, you know, for all the science, all the analysis and everything we've done, how many questions that we still have unanswered about.
Lots of things.
Yeah.
I mean, and I was just reading an article, I tweeted a link to it about an hour ago, of a scientist in another field saying, hey guys, great job, but like, let's not go crazy here. Yeah, from looking at the popular press, everyone would think like this is the biggest thing that's happened in physics in the last, you know, however many years. This is the biggest thing that's happened in particle physics, but there's all kinds of other stuff going on, both in physics and the other sciences that are very exciting. People are pushing all kinds of boundaries every day. There are all kinds of new insights and discoveries that are going on in all kinds of fields. The particular article I was reading was for somebody who does research into optics and how optics interface with biological things, so you can use them to see things inside the body better and think whatever. But the point is, there's stuff going on in all kinds of areas, some of which are closer to having practical applications than this stuff is. Not that the practical applications is necessarily the right milestone, because there's a lot of usefulness just in understanding the universe that, you know, the practical applications can come many decades down the road or never, but it's still good to know, sort of understand what's happening.
Right.
So, but anyway, there's a lot of other physics going on, but this gets a lot of press because somebody a long time ago gave this particle the nickname the God particle. There's really nothing super special about this particle compared to all the others. It just sort of completes the model. But
that's a great question. Why did people start calling it that? Because I started to find it, you know, I'm like, you know, it was just kind of funny. We were talking about that. I'm like, really? I mean, it's just kind of weird.
So I think the answer to that...
What's a simple way to tell simpletons what the hell it is?
yes, but I don't know how the name originated, but it's completely hyperbole. I think part of it was like it was the last particle to find, so it was very elusive, and you know, blah blah blah. Mass comes out of it, so that's important. So maybe, but basically, it's like popular press hyperbole. Like, the people who are actually in the industry studying this would probably roll their eyes every time you heard them anybody say that.
Okay.
So, anyway, interesting stuff. Higgs boson. And we'll see over the next year or two, there'll be a lot more coming out in terms of analyzing this more. Is it really just exactly confirmation of a standard model? Is there something new here to research? If so, what? You know, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, someone pointed out as well, you know, whenever anybody talks about basic research on things like this, and, you know, really we spent billions of dollars on this, it's useful to point out, too, that in order to do this, all kinds of technology had to be worked out. There were very difficult engineering problems that had to be applied here. And there are probably going to be all kinds of side effects where the technology used to build and manage the detectors for this will end up having all kinds of other uses and influence technology in other ways. Plus, you know, all of the people who are involved in the projects to do this research, you know, some of them will end up being professors and blah, blah, blah. But some of them will go out into private industry with a whole lot of training and a whole lot of things that they can contribute in other areas. So, you know, the benefits of a huge mega science project like this aren't just, okay, we can write a few papers about this boson. You know, there's all kinds of other stuff that comes out of it, too.
Okay, all right.
Well, okay, let's take a break. We went a bit long on this segment. We're going to come back. There are rumors of a small iPad. We'll talk about that a little bit. There's Android malware that people are talking about coming becoming a problem soon. We'll talk about that. There's a scandal going on in Great Britain about LIBOR. It's an interest rate. People are manipulating, blah, blah, blah. I might talk a little bit. I have some relatives in town who are recent, as in yesterday, converts to the Mac. Anyway, we will be back after this exciting, very exciting interlude.
Woo!
You know, I was actually going to take a break before we talked Higgs boson, but you jumped into it so fast I didn't, so.
Well, yeah, well, you know, it's just, you know, I already mentioned
you were
it,
eager.
So I was,
you were eager to learn.
I was eager to learn, especially considering that, you know, two, you know, worked on the project and stuff, so I thought it was kind of cool to get, you know, it so did that. But anyway, so let's, you know what? Yeah, talk about. Let's talk about the.
I forget if you mentioned that before
stuff.
The show or during. You have an in-law or relative or something that worked on the
yes.
Large Hadron Collider.
That my sister-in-law's sister. Okay, we have to work.
Anyway,
on it,
moving
so.
On. You want to talk small iPad, Android, or LIBOR first?
Let's start with your. Well, we can talk about the Mac
the
stuff.
Mac
let's
stuff.
Talk about you getting the Mac, and like we can talk about the small iPad afterwards. So what
so,
are we?
I'll keep this short. Basically, this is. You know, this is one of the, you know, a lot of folks, you know, if you have any sort of comfort level with technology, you will find that you have relatives who sometimes come to you for advice and stuff. This was sort of one of those cases. My just to give you guys the picture, this is my dad and my stepmom. My dad is relatively comfortable with technology. In terms of, you know, at one point a couple decades ago, he actually did some side... He's mainly a writer-researcher, but he did some side work with databases and computer programming back in, like, the 80s. So a long time ago. But he did a little bit of that, and he's comfortable, like, messing around with a website and changing things around. For his own computing environment, he was on Windows for the longest time, and he... although he would always stay a version or two behind, which always frustrated the hell out of me. But, like, he wouldn't...
So what? He'd be usually, like, right now, what? We'd be, like, what, Windows 95 right now? Or Windows 2000?
Not 95, but, like, he was on, you know, he was on XP for forever, you know?
Okay.
And before XP, he stayed on Windows 3 or whatever for a long time after other things were available. You know,
okay.
It's just he sort of seems to have the general philosophy that he won't upgrade the operating system until he absolutely has to because there's no choice. As opposed to me, who I'm like, new operating system is out. It came out 5 minutes ago. I must have it.
I mean, I like upgrading too. I'm a little bit behind you, but I mean,
and
yeah.
Honestly,
I mean, right now,
I'm not quite 5 minutes anymore.
I mean, I'm like frustrated. I mean, I gotta admit, I'm like right now
anybody,
extremely frustrated about not being able to upgrade. Like at this point, and I have been like, I don't know. At some point, it's just I bought a new air conditioner. I bought a new fucking like dryer. I bought a new all this shit for the baby, and I'm just like right now. You know what? It's gonna wait. It's gonna wait because we bought a car and all of this shit. So I'm like, you know, my wife said, you know what? We're not multi-billionaires. We gotta wait. So I'm waiting right now.
That makes perfect sense.
To pay some of this stuff off. Like I mean, and when we're getting close, okay. So before I go and I, you know, pull the trigger on anything else. So my computers have gotten.
Yeah, no.
I'm older than I've ever had. I mean, these are the oldest computers I've ever had. Okay.
I understand. I understand completely. And, you know, for the most part, we've been on a 3-year cycle with our computers, but on a few occasions, we've decided to make it 4. You know, and we'll see. We may go longer at some point.
Usually I made it 5. I am right now that my youngest computer, like, is 6. It's over 6 years old.
Yeah,
right?
You're in complete crazy land right there. But
yeah, I know.
I understand the trade-offs,
but
it makes sense.
They're working.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm watching.
They do what you need them to do.
You know what? Exactly. I have the Wimbledon final right now on my 6-year-old laptop right now showing right there. Okay? All right? So, and it's showing. It looks great, actually, right now on the full screen right now. I got a really good feed. So, so it's working, you know, and I'm doing the show on the other machine, which is older. Okay? So,
anyway.
It's not like Sam hears me about the computer crashing all the time or losing data or anything of the sort. So let me continue
with the flavor.
So you had one of them buckle to go and make a change.
I have to finish setting the groundwork.
Okay.
My dad, however, switched a couple years ago from Windows.
Oh, he did.
What did he switch to? Ubuntu.
Linux?
Ubuntu Linux.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. Okay.
Which he thinks is great, and he loves it, and it does everything he needs it to do, so fine.
Okay. Good.
My stepmom is still on Windows. I don't know what version of Windows they're on. I wouldn't be surprised if it was still XP. But anyway, she needed a new laptop. This is not going to be her primary computer. But they finally decided that, you know, my sister Cynthia finally got, when she went off to college, got a Mac. And they've heard good things about it from her. They've heard good things about it from me. There's good press. They hear bad things about Windows. So finally, okay, they're going to Mac. And so we went out, and actually to get my company discount, I actually bought it. They're going to reimburse me later. But
so how much of a discount do you get? Just curiosity on a low margin item like that.
Well, let's there was a little controversy there, because I got less of a discount than I thought I was going to get from previous times I've got computers. It typically in the past I could swear it was 9%.
Okay.
They gave me 6%. In the past it was 9%, and I could actually come in, show my ID, and they could pay for it on their card.
Okay.
But this time I came in and they're like, "No, it's only 6% and you have to pay for it yourself if you're going to use the discount."
Interesting.
And interesting. I'm like, "I don't think that's how it's supposed to be." But I hadn't bothered looking it up again because yeah, anyway, so we just took the 6% and I put it on my card and whatever.
Okay, and I'll pay you
and
back.
And they're going to send me a check when they get back
right.
home.
Right. And you'll be good. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be good. So, but anyway,
You got it.
We got it. We got a 13-inch MacBook Pro.
You can go for the Retina display. I figured you'd go for the Retina.
No, they did not want the Retina, and she looked at the 15 and the 13 and decided 15 was too big for her. She wanted the 13.
Okay.
So, and cool, you know. Anyway, so then there's like the stress. So this, the way that my stepmom describes this to me, she is a complete technophobe.
Okay.
When she learns to do things on her computer that she needs to do, there's absolutely none of the, you know, understanding the underlying metaphor of the computer and therefore applying it in all kinds of situations. It's somebody shows her how to do a specific thing, she writes down the steps, and then follows them step by step from her crib sheet until she's done it so many times she's memorized it.
Okay.
But she can't deviate from the script. You know, because this is what she learned to do.
Okay. Well, are you... Okay,
yes. So...
All right. I got it.
And you know, one of the advantages of the Mac is supposedly that, you know, everything is more intuitive. You just pick it up and you start.
Well, sure, it's intuitive, but it's intuitive. I mean,
it's intuitive.
The problem is if you've been used to doing it some other way, it's not going to be fucking intuitive.
Right. So the first few weeks here are going to be painful. And she's not doing a complete transition either. This is her laptop for when she's traveling and working and whatever. She's still going to be using her own Windows desktop most of the time at home.
Okay.
So the transition is going to be a little painful, but I just to tell you sort of the way interacting with my dad and stepmom on this kind of thing, they're sort of very high strung. Let's put it that way. So like we boot up the computer for the first time. Okay.
And, how did that go?
Well, one, I want to say I was disappointed. You know the little welcome video that used to come on at the beginning when you launch a Mac for the first time?
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
So what happened?
It just went straight into the setup process.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, I wanted to watch the little welcome video.
Right.
Anyway, but like at a certain point in the process, you have to set up your account.
Right.
Your default account on the computer.
Oh,
and you have
shit.
To put in a password.
Oh, boy.
A 15-minute discussion ensued on, okay, is this an important password? How secure should this password be? But I have so many passwords. What do I do? You know, and I don't want another password, and I shouldn't reuse a password. And, well, you know, but this is – our current laptop has no password at all, so it doesn't really have to be that good a password. And this went on and on and on. And eventually they decided roughly what they wanted to do. They decided, you know, this password wasn't going to be that secure, so they just put something in.
Okay.
So then, a few minutes later, we needed to set up an Apple ID.
Okay? Oh, shit.
And like I told them, like, you don't strictly speaking need the Apple ID, but if you're going to be buying things from the App Store and other things like that.
Don't they buy stuff from the App Store now? They don't have, like, an iPod?
No. Like, Jack.
Neither of them have an iPod.
No, actually, my stepmom did have a 5-year-old iPod Shuffle. I think.
So how did she put music on it?
She didn't. She doesn't use her computer for that.
So she... Okay,
they've
so
got
she
CDs.
Had...
Although this does come into the story later.
Okay.
So it's time to set up the Apple ID. So okay. Another 15-minute discussion ensues. But this time, because the Apple ID is going to have a credit card connected to it because you buy things, they decide this is going to be a more secure thing. And also they force it to be more secure because you're required to have capital letters, lowercase,
right,
numbers,
right,
whatever.
Right.
So they're discussing this for, you know, 10, 15 minutes, whatever. And they decide on what their password is going to be. So my stepmom pulls out of her bag the piece of paper where she writes down all her passwords.
She keeps all her passwords on a piece of paper in her bag.
Yes. So they add the new password. And then they try to set up the account. And it
you know, that's
account,
not very good.
Yeah, I...
That's not good at all.
Don't even go there. You know? Look, don't even go there. Anyway,
my wife keeps a place where a log of her password. However, it's inside a password protected file somewhere.
Right.
That she can access. Okay. So, you know, at least it's like, yeah, I don't keep any of my passwords written down. If I forget them, I have a ridiculous amount of passwords, but luckily I've always been able to
remember. Oh, and of course, by the way, there was also a bit of a discussion when it asked you for the security question to recover your password. None of these questions apply. Luckily, there was an other choice, so she picked other and put in some other question. But anyway...
okay, all right.
Anyway, we finally go to create the Apple ID account, and it says the ID already exists.
Oh, shit.
And then they realized that sometime years ago,
they had created one.
Cynthia, my little sister, had set up an iTunes account for my stuff.
Ah, fuck! Of course.
You know, and so they look that up on their piece of paper and they log in.
this is brilliant. Oh shit! Okay, look, wait. Can I just stop for 1 second?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yes.
If you guys are listening to the podcast, it's not that hilarious. I'm just being, anyway. All right. Okay,
yeah.
Move on.
Anyway, we move beyond that. We get logged in. And I have something that I'm going to change anytime I ever set up a computer in the future, because it just didn't go well this time, which is usually I tell people, you know, to... just to familiarize themselves, one of the first things, like what I always do the first time I get a new computer, I go through all the settings and options, make sure I know what the options are, customize things the way I like.
Oh my lord, how long did this take with these guys?
Set up the screensaver like I like, set up the options for scrolling. I do that too. We started to do this, we go through the first few screens, and this is, the result is confusion. And like, so after the first couple, my dad's like, instead of going through any more, can we just like summarize what they are, and we'll only go into some of them if it seems relevant, which was a perfect idea, because after he said, like, we spent probably half an hour on the first few tabs because I had to explain each and every radio button and what it was and what it did and why it might be important, and most of them aren't.
Right.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, when my dad said that, I was like, something went off in my head, and I'm like, duh. Okay, look. Almost the defaults are good. You know?
Right.
Yes, I change a number of things because I like it better one way or another, and by the time we got to this point, she changed a couple things. But the defaults are good. You know, any time I ever do this in the future, when I'm setting up a new computer for anybody, when I'm helping them, I'm going to say, try it out of the box without changing a damn fucking thing.
Right.
And then only if you start getting annoyed by something, then ask, can I change this? And then we'll figure out if you can change it. But if you aren't getting annoyed by something, just use it freaking out of the box. No reason to touch a damn thing. You know, and that's like, I think, you know, a number of years ago, honestly, that was probably always true. And for people who are somewhat tinkerers and really want to understand their computer, yes, of course. Like, go look through all the damn options. Look through all the, in any program you're using, in any computer you're using. But especially if you're dealing with folks who aren't comfortable with the technology to begin with, aren't comfortable with the underlying metaphor of, like, Windows and stuff. You know, and just navigating and getting around. Fuck all that stuff. Ignore it. Just use it out of the box. Only worry about that if stuff starts to annoy you. Because I probably added an hour and added to their stress level just by opening those things in the first place, which they probably never even needed to touch.
Right.
You know? And so I'm like, shit. I should have just been like, look, just
try
the
defaults. Just if you don't use like, it. Right. And then fiddle with it just in case.
Now,
right.
here's another interesting point of, you know, the kind of stress that went on here. At one point, you know, I'm just giving him a tour of all the basic things default without installing any programs. You know, here's your Apple menu. Here's your search. Here's the Finder, blah, blah, blah. So I go to the Finder and show him, okay, there's nothing here yet, but this is where you'll go if you need to move files around and stuff. But honestly, most of the time these days, you can do what you need to do from within a program. This caused all kinds of stress, too, because they very much are about organizing files and folders and things like that. And my stepmom has good reasons. For the work she does, she has to keep track of a bunch of stuff for a whole bunch of different jobs, keep old versions of files, all kinds of stuff. It makes sense to organize them into folders and blah, 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 manipulate them. The simple thing of copying a file from one folder to another came up. And they're like, how do you make it a screen where you have a side-by-side view and can move things?
Okay.
And I'm like, I didn't understand this at first. I'm like,
you didn't understand the question, or you didn't know how to do it?
Well, no, at first I didn't understand what they meant, because I was just like, well, you know, you open this folder and then you open that folder and you
copy
drag.
And then you paste it on the other one. Yeah.
You drag. And they're like, no, I don't want two windows.
They want the two windows side by side. I'm trying to see if I could do this here.
She wants what they want. And like, I'm going to that, and like, my dad is like, No. No dragging and dropping. That's so confusing. You know, and I don't want multiple windows all over the place.
That's how she wanted to do it, right? She wanted to do a drag and drop from one window to another, side by side?
Well, no, she doesn't want to drag and drop at all. What they want, and it took me a few minutes to figure this out, if you remember really old FTP interfaces, where on the left you have one computer and on the right you have one computer and you select files and they hit an arrow to move them,
yeah,
that's what they want.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Are you still there?
Yeah, I said, you asked me if I had remembered the FTP interface.
Yeah, I
remember that.
That's what they want, is that kind of interface. And I'm like, you can probably
what
find a third party.
What the fuck, bull tight? Good.
Because that's what they're used to.
In what?
Well, they have
in
a custom they have a custom program to do that in Windows, because the File Explorer was didn't work for them either.
Well, maybe I'm thinking right now about the only one that I could think. You know how you have that view in Windows in the Mac where you have like that one that's like a
the column view. No,
yeah,
that's not it. But anyway, I'm sure there's a third party tool that will do something like that. I'll go look on the App Store later. But anyway, in the end, you know, we finished for today. I installed Office for them, and then we're going to do more this afternoon. But this is the kind of thing where, you know, she's very, very concerned about Office compatibility with Windows Office and stuff like that. I'm sure that that's not going to be a problem.
It's no big deal.
Even with macros, because she uses macros.
Yeah, it's
and
still not.
That was a problem in older versions of Mac Office, but
not
anymore.
That's not a problem anymore.
Anyway, so it's just interesting. And I know everybody listening, this is probably boring, but you know, the thing is, like, this is the transition for someone who is not, you know, sort of technologically flexible, and like if you took a 15-year-old who'd been using Windows all their life and put them in front of a Mac,
they'd
have
figured
no
problem.
Out in 10
right.
minutes.
It's just, yeah.
When you're talking about somebody who even...
couple of curmudgeons, perhaps?
Yeah, curmudgeons. If you're talking about people who have never been fully comfortable with the technology, where the technology is always something that they have to think about, where they're actually... Like, for anybody who's grown up with this stuff and who's used it every day forever since they were young, you know, it's all second nature. Like, finding things in menus, moving files around, dealing with multiple windows, flipping around, that's all stuff that just, it's just there. You don't think about it. But for folks where this came much, much later and who don't have that sort of orientation to begin with, you know, they have all of that is stuff you think about every time you use it, you know. And so the transition from one technology to another, if you're going from Windows to Mac or Mac to Windows or to Ubuntu or whatever, that transition period is going to be painful, no matter what. Now, I've said, and they're sort of, we're in this, we've made this decision, we're going forward. You know, I'm like, you know, look, after you've been doing it for a while, give it a month, give it 2 months, whatever, you'll never think about it again. It'll all be second nature. And hopefully it'll be easier than what it was on the old Windows system. But, you know, we'll see. But I find it very interesting that even these diehards who, you know, take forever to change and stick with the old thing forever, they've jumped to a Mac. Now, there are limits. I tried to convince them to use the built-in programs for mail and stuff like that, and no, they're all in a Gmail world, so they're using Gmail for all that stuff, and Google Calendar.
Well, okay, they're using Gmail and Gcal. I mean, that's
yeah,
okay.
It's very
I mean,
popular.
You know, that's
lots
not,
of people
you know, that's
love
not
it.
That
lots,
backwards.
Lots of people love it. Now, I will say on a Mac, there are advantages to use the built-in thing because you can use Spotlight to find stuff, and there's
no,
and
I agree.
It's mixed in.
I agree,
all
but hey, they're using that. I mean, it is what it is.
There are
you
advantages,
so.
There are disadvantages. But this is a place where even tech-savvy people disagree, and you know, I like Apple's mail and calendar and stuff, but lots of people swear by Gmail, so I can't fight with that.
Right.
You know,
I mean, I will admit about the Spotlight, you know, being useful. Like yesterday, I was looking for an old email, my lord, and I was able to do a search on my computer and find a 12-year-old email that I was looking for. Okay, all right, from 2000. Okay,
yeah.
I was able to find it. I was shocked that I was able to find it. Okay, but yes, I did.
I've done that on a number of occasions where we're having a conversation with somebody and they mention something which reminds me of an email from 15 years ago, and I just boom, 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 boom. But here's what you said about it in 1996.
Yep.
You know. But anyway.
You know, the worst thing is that if you do a search on the internet, I don't know, somebody published some old emails that I wrote like 20 years ago.
Excellent.
Believe that. So, Yeah, so there you go.
Anyway, we should move on. We've gone way too long on this project topic. Sorry for boring everybody. We'll take another break. We'll be back and talk about some actual newsy stuff. Sort of, kind of. We'll be back. This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right. An opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show. Which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show. And here we are.
All right.
Between the absolute nothing we've already talked about, we've already gone 45 minutes plus.
Right, so let's shorten this up, okay? All right, so I don't know. Look, here's a question I got. The small tablet thing. What do you think? Apple.
Well,
so,
you know, this is something that, you know, on our year-end prediction show, our year-beginning prediction show, I said absolutely not. Apple will not do this. But now
Did I say it would?
You said it
would. Okay, all right.
And the rumors are going in your direction, Yvonne. I mean, the rumors were going on even back then. But they've been getting hotter and heavier these days, and people anticipate it's because, you know, of things like the Nook and the Fire and things that, you know, they haven't been really competing with the iPod yet, but they're the first thing that's shown some sign of life, you know, and sometimes better than a sign of life. They're doing okay. And so people are saying, you know, Apple needs to get into this market to compete with those and, you know, get a lower price point. A smaller form factor that's easier to carry around, and
I think, you know, the simple thing is this:
iPad Mini or whatever, and people will love it. You know,
two things about this: Apple's success has been because unlike other companies that all of a sudden, you know, you go and you try to look at the models that some people launched. I don't remember, like Motorola at that point had about 50, 70 different versions of the same damn phone.
Yeah.
All right. And honestly, you didn't know which one was better or not than the other. They were just fucking different for being different. Okay, all right.
Yep.
So it's all like.
I'll tell you, we've talked a few times about standalone GPSs. Garmin is one of the worst for these. They've got like 20 freaking models with slight differences in features and size and shape. What the fuck?
It's idiotic. It's that there's no point. All you're doing is increasing your internal costs while not really increasing your sales. Okay?
Or the value to the customer, because you're confusing a lot of people. Like, what the hell do I need?
Right.
Apple was known for this too, like before Steve Jobs came back.
Oh my God, they were the worst. Jesus Christ, there were like 17 different versions, the same piece of shit. And that's the same thing one of the things that Steve did that has made the company a lot more successful and profitable. You stop that shit. Now, that doesn't mean like right now that, for example, if you go, look, having a second model of the iPad is not, you know, is not overkill.
No.
And let's face it, you're not, you know, you can have two or three variations of it. It's not too much. You can go up to, you know, a couple of them. It serves a different market. You're not going to, you know, the only thing you're going to do, if it were so you cannibalize some sales from a larger iPad to a smaller iPad, big deal.
Well, and
if
they've already said, wind up doing
is taking sales away from other people that are selling smaller models, then fuck, you know, what the hell? Why not?
Yeah, and Apple, by the way, there have been some press lately, too, that's exactly what's been happening with the iPad 2 versus the quote-unquote new iPad. There's still a lot of people buying the iPad 2. It's at a cheaper price point. It's not quite as good on features, but it's still a pretty damn good machine.
Right.
And so people are buying that. And, you know, the big trade-off question is, are you gaining people that would have bought no iPad,
Or are you taking some
people who would have bought a new iPad and they're buying older models?
You probably gained people who would have done two things. One, either buy something else, or two, they wouldn't have bought one.
But you know, one of the takes on this is, you know, even if you're cannibalizing some people who would have bought the new iPad and they're buying the older model instead, guess what? You end up with a happier customer because they bought something that at a price point they are more comfortable with.
Right.
And they feel like they're getting better value out of it because of it. They feel like, you know, and so you end up with a happier customer than the guy who's like, you know, I really want an iPad. I'd rather not spend that much, but it's my only choice. So I guess I'll stretch and I'll get it. But then they feel like they've really invested in it, and they're going to be a little unhappier with the trade-off because they wish they hadn't spent that much.
Right.
So you end up with happier customers either way. Now with the sort of iPad mini, you know, one of the famous things is, of course, you know, Steve Jobs had said, we studied this very much. This is the right size. We tried a whole bunch of sizes. Littler doesn't make sense. It's stupid. We're going with this bigger size. But, you know, Steve Jobs himself, before people are going and start saying, you know, oh, Steve Jobs would never allow this.
Bullshit.
There are plenty of things that Apple has put out that before Apple put them out, a year before that,
Steve Jobs said they'd never do something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, because this is crazy, this is stupid, whatever, we wouldn't do that.
If somebody could go and could have convinced Steve Jobs, dude, you're wrong, let's do this, you know, what the hell, and after a while of like a whole bunch of people, you know, like convincing him, showing how it could be done different, he would go and say, okay, let's do it.
Yeah, he would be convinced eventually on things like that. You know, he was very strong on his opinions, but he's willing to be convinced when the facts were against him. You know?
Right.
And unlike
some other people that won't.
And also, it's not just the facts against it, also just plain things change.
Absolutely.
You know, when the iPad first came out, you know, the technology to put in a smaller one would probably have been a suckier experience.
It would have been a really sucky experience.
Lower battery life, lower resolution.
Think about it. The screen would have been fucking unreadable. It's a little piece of shit. Now you've got these Retina displays that you could blow up, get more resolution at a smaller screen.
And they've been working really hard on miniaturization and battery technology and packing big battery. So, you know, it may well be that the 7-inch version of the iPad that they're talking about today is something that just plain would have been impossible 2 years ago.
Or would have sucked.
Yeah, that's more like it. It would have been impossible to do it at a quality standard Apple would have been happy with.
Right.
But now it probably is. You know?
Yep.
Yeah, Apple can put out one of these things with a Retina display, with a kick-ass battery life.
Right.
They can probably do it in such a way that it's fully resolution compatible with the larger version so that they don't have to reprogram things.
Right, which they've been working on that right now. Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, so maybe. Maybe. And I don't doubt if they put out one of these at, you know, $200 cheaper than the iPad 2 model, they'll sell a shitload.
Yep.
You know, and even I have to look at it like, you know, I'm still living in my not getting an iPad this year because of my going over budget on the car. But I look at this and say, I really want, you know, right now, I really want the freaking new iPad. It looks kick ass. If there was the new iPad and there was a smaller one, I admit I would think a little bit deciding whether to get the big one or the little one.
Right. If I could get the little iPad for $199, I already do have an iPad, but I may get a smaller one just to, I don't know. But you know what? Listen, but you and I, let me tell you something. Okay. It's like everything. Okay.
We're not typical.
So, well, no, I mean, no. What we're doing is... Look, so hey, we spent money on all this stuff. Look, it doesn't matter, you know, whatever. The responsible thing is to right now hold off because we made some decisions that affect our budget later on. And so, yeah, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know, gotta,
no, but in general, what I'm saying is like, this thing would be tempting. I can't, you know,
I agree,
and not just on price. Like, there's something to be said for smaller.
Right. Right.
You know,
right.
One of the things about the iPod, it's a pretty You know,
but I have a standard sized iPad, and I stuck, I stick it in my briefcase along with my laptop. And I gotta admit, I mean, it is even it's just the original iPod. It's so small and so light and whatever, you barely notice a fucking thing in there. I mean, as a matter of fact, I have a folder that sometimes I carry to business meetings that I don't put in my briefcase because honestly, that folder, that leather folder, is heavier than the damn iPad.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, that's how different it is. It's like, damn it, you know, I have the iPad in there. I don't notice the extra weight in my briefcase. I put in that damn leather folder, and I do.
Right. No, so, but I'm saying it's still by comparison, like, you know, carrying around an iPad is a little bit more than carrying around an iPhone because you just shove the iPhone in your pocket. You have to think a little bit more about the iPad. Something a little bit intermediate in size, again, it's like it does add to the portability. I'm not saying that the iPad isn't portable. Obviously, people carrying them around all the time. But, you know, there are some advantages to being small.
Maybe going to a sports game and you want to take it. Maybe going outside. I don't know.
There are advantages to being larger as well. But that's the whole thing. If you allow the trade-off, then people will pick what's best for them.
Right. So I don't see it as a negative if they add the extra model. I think it's probably it's a positive if they do. So, okay.
So we've been going a long time. We've talked about basically nothing for an entire show.
All right, so we did a Seinfeld episode, basically. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, we did. So, all right. we're not going to talk about Android malware. We're not going to talk about LiDAR.
No, we're done. We're out.
Maybe next week, we'll see.
Okay.
Or maybe there'll be more excitement. This stuff going on in Egypt, this stuff going on all over the world. Maybe it'll be a lot to talk about next week.
All right.
We actually haven't talked much about the election in weeks.
No, because there hasn't been much going on.
We vaguely alluded to it last week.
And Roger Federer just beat Andy Murray to continue the streak of like 80 years of basically a British not winning Wimbledon. So there you go.
Woo.
Okay, all right.
Whatever. Okay, I was going to mention some tennis stuff, but I don't actually care. So
okay.
We're out of here. Thanks for listening to us. We'll talk to you next week.
Goodbye.
You know, email me and all that crap. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.